probably one of the biggest things we all will be one of our number one things on the list. Remember, first it was self-esteem. Because without self-esteem, this other stuff is going to, it's kind of like without self-esteem, it'd be like getting Nestle. If I give you this other stuff, it'd be giving you Nestle Quick without the milk. How many want Nestle Quick without milk? You think you do fleet la fluff. Yeah. So the same way, without getting your self-esteem under control, this other stuff is really kind of rough stuff. And so that was the very first thing, was self-esteem. And then last week we started disappointment, because I'm pretty sure, let's just say, like Sister Maxine, she was disappointed because she was coming to church tonight, but she had to wait for the lady to come check her heart. And so, because she had that stuff done not long ago. And so they did not show up. And because they didn't show up, she didn't go to church. And she told me she was very disappointed. That's why I put her on the phone and let y'all talk to her. And in the same way, disappointments come when something happens other than what we're expecting. We get a different outcome. We've been talking about that tonight. What I have discovered is that God, in the middle of all this, is a very great, great, great provider. And he knows. Paul one time said they were going to go one place, and the Holy Spirit came to him, or an angel came and said, "No, you're not going there. We're going here." So he goes there and he gets beat. Okay, thank you, Lord. You see me over here and I get beat. There you go. That's the way to do it. But see, it led to something else, led to something else, led to something else. I heard about a man not long ago, heard a preacher preaching. He said the man was on the way to the hospital to minister to somebody. And while he was on the way to the hospital to minister to somebody, a car went out of control and ran over him. He winds up in the hospital. And he said, to start with, thinking, "Well, Lord, I was doing your business, and I get run over. You know, I'm doing your business, God, and I get hit." And he was feeling kind of bad about it until the doctor in the emergency room said, "You better be glad you got." No, the doctor came in the next day and said, "You better be glad you got hit." He said, "Why?" I said, "Because you have a type of, I think it was kidney cancer, that is very aggressive, spreads very fast, very few people, unless they catch it ahead of time, or catch it in the very beginning stages, which people can't catch it because they don't know it's there, they die. So if you catch it in the very early stages, you got a chance to live." And we caught it in plenty of time. If you hadn't been hit by that car, you would not have known to get your kidney checked. So, again, that's right. So God allowed him. He's on a ministry call, and God says, "I'm a minister to you too. Here, bam, bam." But he didn't realize he was really being ministered to, because it took care of that. And we can all think of things in our life like that. But disappointments is when you get when you receive something you're not expecting to receive, or somebody's response to you is not exactly what you're expecting. Okay, now just remember one thing: you can disappoint yourself, and you can disappoint others, and others can disappoint themselves, and they can disappoint others. But don't ever let the devil beat you up and tell you that you disappointed God. You can never disappoint God. The reason why you can't disappoint God is you can tell him, "I'm going to do this, 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 and this," and you don't do it and say, "I've disappointed you, God, because I didn't do it." And God says, "I knew that to start with when you told me." If you already know the outcome, it's not a disappointment. So, but here we go. This is part two of disappointments. And on the back pages is the back of this page is your scriptures. But here we go. Ma'am? Sure. Do what? This the Bible study? I thought you meant this Bible study. If you would tell me that you want outlines, I can give you access. I can go back there and make a copy of the PowerPoints and give them right to you, so you have everything up there. You'll have everything. Whoever wants one, they can get them. It's not a problem. And they're all online too. So here we go. God has so much for us to experience in this life. He's provided a way in every situation that we find ourselves in. So many times we get harmed by circumstances. If not handled correctly, we bleed to death emotionally, mentally, spiritually. We need to find what God says, apply it, and stop the bleeding. I've seen people go to the hospital and they're in the hospital because they're so weak and they can barely move, and they find out they're losing blood, but they're losing blood on the inside so they couldn't see it. And so they had to find what's bleeding and fix it. And once they fix it, then they'll get their strength back. The same way, a lot of us are so weak spiritually and are mentally or emotionally and don't realize it because we're bleeding on the inside. We've got to find where we're bleeding and pinch it off, right? So all of us face life-altering disappointments that leave us breathless. Often these disappointments come unexpectedly, leaving us more questions than answers. I've seen it many a time where I have more questions than I had any kind of answers. And so the same way, it's important that we keep our mind on what we're doing and keep our mind on God, because God's not going to let us fall, although he will let you, he'll let you skin your knee, but he's not going to let you die from it. Okay, he'll let you skin your knee. So, even we don't have all the answers or any of the answers, God does. So, whatever our circumstances, whether we stand on the highest mountain or wander through the darkest valley, God's ready to protect, comfort, and heal us. Our task is to let him. And it's hard right now. I've got, we've all got these situations. I've got, my dad, when he's down, I can't get him to let me help him. He'll let me go out there and mow the grass, sure. He'll let me change the spark plugs, but I'm going to say, Dad, you need this in your system now. And he goes, I'll be all right. Dad, you just took this medicine. You need something deep behind it because you're going to get sick. I'm fine. Or like with my in-laws right now, having to fight them to help them, and of course we love them, so it's not a biggie. We're going to help them no matter what. But I'm just saying is, I keep seeing this and thinking about how many times is God trying to help me and I'm pushing him away. Wow. Y'all remember the story? Y'all remember the story about the guy that started flooding? He was on his front porch and it started flooding, and the National Guard come by in a Jeep and said, you need to climb on in and we need to take you away because the flood's expected to get very high. He says, I'm not worried about it. God will take care of me. And then the water gets up on, he's on top of the roof, and now a boat comes by with the National Guard and says, hop in, we got to go, you can't stand. He says, God will take care of me. And then he gets so high, he's on the very top of his roof on the tip, and a helicopter comes by and says, hold on, we're going to take you to safety. He said, don't worry, God's going to take care of me. And within about 30 minutes, he drowns. He goes to heaven. And he says, God, I thought you were going to take care of me. He says, I thought you loved me. He said, I do love you. He said, I thought you'd take care of me. He said, I do take care of you. He said, well, you let me drown. He said, who do you think sent the National Guard, sent the car and the boat and the helicopter? So many times God sends us something, we're waving him off. Oh, we got this. Oh, go ahead. We got it. Yeah, we got it. Yeah, right. So, well, here we go. When life is filled with the good, the bad, and the ugly, during the happy times, we're tempted to take our blessings for granted. I'm very much there. During the difficult days, we discover what we're made of and what our faith is made of. And you, matter of fact, if you think about it, the hard times aren't making you. The hard times are revealing you. Listen carefully. If it just made you is one thing, but I don't know what I need made. But if it reveals me, what I got on the inside, thanks. Say, oh wow, Lord, I didn't realize I was so weak in that area. I didn't realize I needed help over here. So the hard times revealing me, and then God can work on it. So it pulls out. When things are going rough, now I'm being revealed to me. This, maybe I weren't so strong in this area. Maybe I didn't have this all together like I thought I did. So it's a good thing. So here it is. Matter of fact, it says, and I talked about it the other day, in Psalm 119, come on, wake up, baby. Wake up. There you go. Psalm 119:67. before I learned to answer you, let me read it in the King James Version first. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now your word do I keep. Here, this is the Amplified, so it's the Hebrew. Hearing, receiving, loving, and obeying it. In other words, before I learned to answer you, I wandered all over the place, but now I'm in step with your word. Also, in 71, it says, it's good for me that I've been afflicted, that I might learn your statutes. Again, my troubles turned out all for the best. They forced me to learn from your textbook. I found out when things are going good, I'm not always such a studious person. I'm too busy just getting the work done. You know, and everybody in here are caregivers. I mean, all of you are caregivers. I know you are. And the bad thing about a caregiver is they're so busy taking care of others that many times they neglect themselves. And there's a lot of ministers and guys that men or women that minister that they're so busy taking care of everybody else that they're drying up and don't understand. It's like I told you, when you're in the airplane, the first thing they say when they show you that air says, if these fall down, you put yours on first, because if you don't put yours on, you can't help anybody else. So if your faith is being tested by difficult circumstances, ask yourself three important questions. How does God want me to respond? I mean, tell me, God, how do you expect me to respond in this? And this is part of that revealing. God revealing you to you. It's important that God reveals you to you, because God knows you better than you know you. When do couple counseling, if we do any kind of test, I'll do a test and I'll say, here, y'all do this test about yourself. And I'll give them another test and say, now do that same test with your spouse in mind. Because they see you different than you see yourself. Now, what does God want me to learn? Every time God allows it, there's a reason. And number three, where does God want me to go from here? Now I'm learning this lesson. What do you want me to do with it? So here's the lessons. Here's where we stopped last week. Your lessons. And this is tough. Lessons are often difficult to understand, especially when you're hurt or angry. When I'm going through something and I'm hurting, or I'm going through something and I'm angry. You know, it's like DC or Daniel has a thing to say about, especially about Anna Lane. He'll say, she's hangry. Angry? Yeah, she's hungry. And hungry makes her angry. And so she gets hangry. I said, I see. Amen. Hangry. Well, the same way, sometimes I get hangry because I'm hungry to see God move. And I'm trying to step up in faith. But I may physically be hurting. Or I'm watching somebody else hurt. And especially when I watch somebody else hurt, especially my family or one of y'all. I go into the hospital and y'all being there. And there's times you don't see it. But I wipe a tear out of my eye. And I get in the car, I might have to brush a few tears away, and I'll say, God, you need to really help me. Or I'll see something going on in your life, and it makes me angry to see Satan doing what he's doing to you. So sometimes when you're angry or when you're hurt, it's hard to understand or have to ask God, show me what I'm supposed to be learning right now. It's very hard at times. What are God's lessons from your disappointments? There's plenty of lessons. How many here has ever been disappointed? How many have been disappointed lately? Here we go. Every disappointed chapter of life has important lessons to teach, but no one can learn them for you. You must learn these lessons for you. No one can learn your lessons that God's trying to teach you for you. It'd be nice, you know, if I learn from your mistakes, it's a lesson. I mean, it's a lesson or an example. If I learn from my mistakes, it's a lesson. All right, here we go. Every disappointed chapter of your life has lessons to teach. I'll go it again, but no one can learn them for you. You must learn these lessons for you. With God's help, you will. God, what are you trying to teach me? God, what are you trying to show me? God, I don't understand. And many times we don't understand what God's doing until way later on. Because remember, you cannot judge. You cannot perfectly, you can judge, but you cannot perfectly judge uh, uh, You cannot perfectly judge God's faithfulness in the moment. You have to look backwards. But as I look backwards, just like I was talking about that guy, some of y'all were here, maybe not everybody was here. I got a call a few weeks ago, said the guy's a nursing home. I used to pastor him. Said, can you go by and see him? I said, sure. And the day I was going to go, something happened. My mother-in-law or something happened with one of y'all. I was going to wind up in another town. I think it was maybe Helenfield. Maybe it was time Helenfield. And I forgot all about it. Then they called me again and said, well, they sent him home. And sent him home with hospice. And I said, okay. They said, if you can go by. And then something else happened. The dad was going to go. Somebody wound up in the hospital. I think Burton or something. Wound up Burton. And so I forgot it again. So then Friday, I felt this incredible need to go see him. Now. So Linda was resting. I told Linda, I said, Linda, I'll be right back. She says, where are you going? I said, I'm going to Belhaven. She said, why? I said, I'm going to go check on this guy. She said, well, go ahead, please go. And so I went, and I told his wife, she says, he's in and out. He had all the strokes. I said, we're going to ask God to give him cognitive reasoning while I'm there. And sure enough, he did. And I asked him, was he ready? And we talked about the Lord. And when I got up and walked out, he went out. His mind just was gone. And he died a day later. Or not Saturday, that was Friday. Saturday, he died on Sunday morning. So it had been Saturday night, Sunday morning. But he died. And I called and checked on his wife and his daughter. And she said, you know what? I hate that he's gone. She said, but I'm just so glad that I know that you came by. I'm glad to know that y'all had that conversation. Matter of fact, she was peeping in the bedroom while I was talking to him. And when I walked out, she was crying. She said, thank God. See, that's God's faithfulness. If you're judged by me messing all those times, thinking I didn't even care. I didn't care as I was busy pastoring, you know. And so the same way, when the Lord did tell me, the Lord said, go now. Do not stop. Go now. And so when I went, and she said, after that conversation, he never came back to a decent conversation, and then he died. So God and his time is impeccable. We just got to look backwards, not forwards. Look backwards. And so again, hidden within every disappointment is the potential for personal and spiritual growth. The Bible tells us, it says that, you look on the back of your scripture, Psalm 105, it says, for the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. And right underneath it, you'll see a little mark over here, and that's another version. There's the message, for God is sheer beauty, all generous in love, loyal always and ever. And here's one I had to learn the hard way. I learned it through being a pastor and watching people, watching families go through things. And I learned it my own self, watching my mama go through it, and then my wife. And now my wife now. And my in-laws. But now we see in a mirror, dimly with them face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I am known. The Message version. We don't see things clearly. We're squinting in a fog, peering through a mist. But it won't be long before the weather clears and the sun shines bright. We'll see it all then. See it all as clearly as God sees us. Knowing him directly, just as he knows us. Right now, there's so much fog. You know, and I was reading the other day, and I'm going to use it in a sermon soon. A fog, a thick, dense fog that is 100 feet thick and goes over a city block. Do you know how much that, you know how much water that is? It all fits in a cup. Our fears in that fog. Our disappointments in that fog. We don't realize when that fog's there, it's only enough water for a cup of water. And 7 inches of snow is from 1-inch rain. That's amazing. So here we go. During these moments, God has things that he wants to say to us, specifically to us. Life's darkest days are filled with teachable moments, unique learning opportunities. I sit back and I look at some of the things I've gone through and look at some of the things that y'all go through. And sometimes I hear just as clearly can be. And I go, wow, that's amazing. I sit back and realize, man, it looked like you had forsaken him, God. It looked like you had forgot all about him. You hadn't forgot about him. Matter of fact, you loved him enough to let him go through this so they can be better. I'm sorry. I was going to go see that there's another person in Smithfield I used to pastor, and I talked to her that this is God again. Oh, man. She said she just died. This lady here, I heard about both of them about the same time, Eddie and her. So she said, Mama's on pain medicine, on morphine, said, but when she can talk, I want to get the phone to you so you can talk to her. She was in Cary at a special cancer center. And so I was walking through Walmart getting some stuff to carry over to my mother-in-law's, and she called on Saturday, and she said, here she is. And so I said, how's it going? And she said, not so good. But they get to do this. I said, I just want to tell you something. Just listen. I said, I can never, ever thank you enough or ever repay you for the kindness and the generosity you showed to my family. When my mama died, she went all the way from Benson and came up there and spent days at my daddy's house taking care of the family. And when Beverly died, she came and stayed days at the house. This was like another mama. She stayed days and days. Matter of fact, there was three or four ladies from the church that did that. And I said, I just want you to know that I love you, and there's no way I could ever repay what you did. I said, but I'll do anything I can to help you. All you have to do is tell me. And she said, okay, I want you to come see me. I said, I'm going to try to come see you, but I got to work it in my schedule, but I'll come see you. And she said, okay. And I didn't think she was going to die this fast, but she just said that she died. But when I got off the phone, I was crying. She was crying. Her daughters were crying. But at least, the miracle of the cell phone, I got a chance to tell her. So she went out here knowing that for me anyway. Okay, so here's a skip. That's no disappointment. One of those life's disappointments. All right, here we go. During these moments, God has things he wants to say specifically to you. In turn, you must make yourself, you must make yourself ready to receive the instructions. I don't know what I did there. I know what I did. I was highlighting something, and I hit the button, and when I went to highlight, I highlighted too much and cut some of the words out. You must make yourself available to receive the instructions. It's like I learned some things when my mama died that there's no way I could learn them any other way. I hate to lose mama. Man, I had to lose a mama. But there's things I learned that I could have learned no other way. I hated going through the death of my wife, but there's things I learned that I could not have learned any other way. And I hate this with Linda, her being sick, and now with her parents. You know, when I say hate, I don't mean hate as I won't help. I didn't mean it that way. I meant that if I had a chance, an opportunity to change it, I would change it, but I can't. And so at the same time, but it's always getting teachable moments. So just say, God, just help me to be a blessing. Help me to see. Help me to know. Help me to understand what you're doing. So your future. If you've endured a life-altering disappointment, which can be the death of a loved one, the loss of a job, whatever, it's life-altering. It's something that you just don't get over with in a couple hours. You know, like kids, little kids, they'll lose something. And you think they're going to die. And then a couple hours later, maybe they're over it. But when you've lost a parent or a spouse or a child and a job, whatever, it always seems that stuff, actually, one reason why it hurts so bad, number one, is because of the connection, the divine connection that you've got with that spouse or with that child or even at that job. But another reason why it hurts so bad is because when they die, now, all that future that you had foreseen is gone. So when all that future is taken away, then hope is taken away. And now there's nothing but it's replaced with despair, because now you're trying to figure out, how am I going to make it without them here at all times? How am I going to make it without my wife? How am I going to make it without my husband? How am I going to make it without my mom? Because all you're seeing is, you're not seeing as God sees. All you're seeing is all those plans that you were looking at and all those hopes are gone. You don't see that God is already ahead of you. He's already made a way. Just like Boaz. Boaz says, I want you to leave handfuls on purpose. Handfuls on purpose. In the same way, God's leaving us handfuls on purpose. If we just look and see, he's keeping us straight. Everything's going good. Everything's happening. Matter of fact, when Naomi saw this, she changed her name to, she saw what happened with Ruth. All of a sudden now she said, you don't have to call me Mara anymore. You can call me Naomi again. And it was so awesome. If you look into Hebrew and look it up, Naomi was an old woman who had lost her sons and lost all of her future hopes. And through her daughter-in-law, now who's got Boaz, and Ruth have a baby. And the Bible says that Naomi, that her breast filled up with milk again, and she fed her grandbaby. Now you tell me, that's not God looking ahead at all of that hope that was taken away and all that future that was taken away and bringing it back. And saying, I got some. Hold on to it. I got this. Okay? The same way with Job when he lost his 10 kids and lost everything he owned. Remember, he got double for his trouble except for his kids. He only got 10 kids back. Why? Because spiritually in heaven, the 10 were already there and he had 10 more going. So there was 20 in heaven. He only had 10 more on earth, but he had 20 in heaven once they went to heaven. It's awesome. God knows what he's doing, even our disappointments. So, if you've endured a life-altering disappointment, you may have a good reason to ask, where do I go from here, Lord? What do I do? In time, he will answer you. His answer may not come immediately. It may not come in the way that you expect. But just try not to wave off the helicopter while the flood's coming around. He will answer. Matthew 7 and 7 says, ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone who asks receives. And who seeks finds, and him who knocks, it will be opened. Our Father has a perfect plan, a chosen path for all his children. When tough times arrive, learn from your experiences. Pray for God's guidance for your future. If you do what you can do, God will do what you can't do. God will turn your obstacles from stumbling blocks into stepping stones. I love this. It's so awesome. Jeremiah 29:11. And first, I've got the New Century Version, and I've got the Message. New Century Version says, I say this because I know what I'm planning for you. I have plans for you, not plans to hurt you. I will give you hope and a good future. The Message says, I know what I'm doing. I've got it all planned out. Plans to take care of you, not abandon you. Plans to give you the future that you hope for. Paul said, there's one thing I do, forgetting the past and straining toward what is ahead. I keep trying to reach the goal and get the prize for which God has for me. Friends, don't get me wrong. By no means do I count myself an expert in all this, but I've got my eye on the goal. Where God is beckoning us onward to Jesus, I'm off and running, and I'm not turning back. Like Charles Swindoll said, every achievement worth remembering is stained with the blood of diligence and scarred with the wounds of disappointment. Wow. We see people sometimes think they've got it all together, got it made. That's some of my family. I just kind of felt like that. It just seemed like everything they did turned out gold. I mean gold. And something happened in their family. And it was very devastating. And when it happened, and their family so devastating. One of our children had done something they weren't expecting, and it was really devastating. And they came to me, and I said, "Yes, what's up, buddy?" And he says, "I don't know how to handle this." And I said, "Well, Lord showed me when I was going through some of this stuff that before He could use me greatly, He must break me greatly." And he said, "Yeah, but this kind of stuff happens to you. It don't happen to me." I wanted to take him and pull him right up and go, "Choo-choo-choo-choo-choo." I said, "You want to be used by God, don't you? You just stepped up. You just stepped up and accepted a position as a deacon." I said, "God's going to use you, but before He uses you, He's going to have to let you go through something." And he couldn't get through his head to start with. He has now. But when he told me that, I just wanted to walk away and say, "You still ain't got it. Look at me and say, how do I get through this thing? And this stuff that you go through, not me." "Oh, okay. Thank you." That's right. Any questions? Any questions? Any concern? Any questions or any comments? I hope this was beneficial. Of course, we don't like talking about disappointments, but they come all the time. All the time. Something as simple as Lynn and I went through, I keep forgetting the name of that burger joint in Washington. It's called the Cookout. I don't keep going to Outback. We're going through the Cookout, and they have like 40 different kinds of milkshakes. And you can mix milkshakes. So you can probably, it's unlimited what you can have them do. So Linda went through and got a caramel walnut. I said, "I just want an orange push-up." And so I'm right now with an orange push-up because we went the week before and we got the same thing. So she got something different, but I got an orange push-up. I liked it. So I go get an orange push-up. And I'm riding down the road and I'm tasting it. It's so thick you got to use a spoon. And I'm eating it. This tastes like vanilla. And I look up inside and I see vanilla. So maybe it's swirled. I have to wait. And I got going. And Linda said, "Oh, it's probably down. There's probably an orange halfway down." But halfway down, I'm still getting vanilla. Matter of fact, when I finally went to the point where it was still vanilla, I was so disappointed. Never got any orange. I was so disappointed. But you know what? I drank it. It was good. It was hot outside. It was good. What I'm trying to say is, though, was it worth losing my salvation over not getting orange in my push-up? Oh, we went to, Linda said, let's just get away. I said, okay. This is a couple weeks ago. So we got her mom and daddy fed, medicined up and fed. So Linda and I go to Taco Bell. Matter of fact, I used to date a girl that was so dumb, she thought Taco Bell was a Mexican phone call. Okay, that's cornball. But what I was going to say is we go to Taco Bell, and I ordered three tacos, and I got them with all the shells. One was fiery, and the next one was cool ranch, and the next one was the regular, but a Dorito. Their things are awesome. Well, we get to the waterfront, and I start eating it, and I look in the bag, and they didn't give us any sauce. Matter of fact, the lady, Linda kept putting her hand there trying to catch the change because the lady's talking in a drive-thru. And she's doing like this. And Linda's trying to catch it. And she finally gets it. And the lady said nothing. She just shut the door, shut the window, and we drove off. And so we get, and then Linda got this little thing we always say too, and it is, and they want $15. Okay, so get to the waterfront, and I don't have anything but the tacos, and so I'm eating, and I was so disappointed, but the most disappointing part was I didn't think about it. The fiery one was the very last one I ate. Without sauce, without cream. It was hot. And I dropped it on my shirt, but you know what? Nobody died. Everybody made it. We got home. I dropped her off at her mama's house. I went back to the house. Everything is fine. My dogs licked my shirt. They were happy. So nobody, but that they didn't complain one bit. But now you got to think about something. When you sit there and watch somebody with Alzheimer's deteriorate, that's disappointing. And then you talk and you go and see these people that were so strong and so powerful. And now they're bent over and they're old. You know, and I look at Burton, how feeble Burton's getting. And last night, Sister Kathleen said, I sure wish I could talk to Bill Parker. And she said, and I said, well, you know what? I got a slew of numbers here for Bill Parker. She said, well, see, she said, I said, you really want to talk to him? She said, yes. So I started going out and calling all of them. The last one I called was him. And I hear him. I can hear him as good as all. I said, hey, Bud Rowe. Bud and Rowe, how's he said? Bud and Rowe. Hey, Bud and Rowe, what's going on? And I said, there's a young lady here that was talking to you. And so I give her the phone. So she's talking to Bill, and I walk out, and her children are out there, and I said, she's talking to Bill. She's fine. And what I was going to say is, though, I sit there and think about that thing, you know, and think about, like, Bill, how Bill used to be so full of spry and so strong, and he's in the nursing home, you know, and Burton is in the nursing home now. And I see this stuff, and it gets disappointing because, listen, it's going to happen. If we don't die, we're all going to get old. We all are. I look at me now, I'm 57. I'll be 58. And I looked at my granddaddy at 57. He looked old. His neck was all wrinkled up. His face was all wrinkled up. Bent over a little bit. Both my granddaddies. My daddy at 58, he was spry. I'm 58, I'm spry. You know what I'm saying? But you know, because think 60's new 40, what they say. I looked at my mom at 56 and she was laying in the casket. Disappointments. Life's full of disappointments. But you take it. You go on with it. It's like the people in the church are getting old. Instead of sitting out being disappointed about it, again, here's what you do. You say, Lord, show me what I can do to be a blessing to them because they've been a blessing to me all these years. Now show me how I can be a blessing to them. The man said already has lost 10%. I'm telling you, that's pitiful. But watch, you just ask, what can I do to help? I mean, just what can I do, Lord? Instead of looking back going, man, these people or like my dad. My dad used to be strong as a bear, and he towered over me. And now I can tower over him. The other day he started having some kind of little thing going on after the stroke, and I remember reaching down and grabbing him and holding him, and I said, this is so wild because I remember when he used to do that to me. So I'm holding my dad and I go sit him down and I said, this is right after his stroke. And I ran over to the house and I got some stuff, some Gatorade, and got a nutritious meal. And I come back over and I made the meal and I gave him the Gatorade. And he said, I said, I don't want to hear it. Just do it. Just do it. So now, how do I be a blessing to them? The same way. If something happens on your job or something happens in your family, instead of getting all disappointed and saying, moped up for forever. Say, Lord, help me get past the mope and grab a hold of the rope and find out why are you allowing this? You're allowing this to happen to me so I can be a blessing to somebody. Tell me how to be a blessing. Oh, yeah. Right. But again, you just ask God, show me, God, how can I be a blessing? How can I be a blessing to whatever's going on? Whatever it is, instead of getting, when disappointment comes, instead of sitting there and going, I am not belittling somebody who when it starts any situation, gets so caught up in it that they stay depressed for weeks. I'm not belittling that. What I'm saying is, if you want to get out of the depression, get out of the funk, you have to ask God, teach me what I need to be learning now and let me apply it, and you will get out of the funk. Well, I can, yeah. But I can tell you this. I was in a Dollar General about a month ago, and there was a couple in there, and I actually know one of the people in the couple, and they're challenged, mentally challenged. And after talking with both of them, I realized they both were mentally challenged. And I'm not making fun. I'm just saying they were mentally challenged. And they had got up, and they were paying. And I saw something going on. They were having a discussion with the clerk. And I was wondering, what in the world was this discussion going on with the clerk? And then they were trying to figure out what to put back. Again, I didn't understand what was going on. So I walked up and I said, can I help you? And the person saw me and said, oh, Brother David, and hugged on me. And I said, how you doing? And she said, I don't know how I done it, but I come up short. And so I asked the clerk, I saw what it was, stuff to have, stuff to eat. And the clerk asked the clerk, I said, how short are they? I couldn't remember, $5 or $10. But they weren't buying cigarettes. They were $5 or $10 short. And I said, and so I threw it up there and said, here. I gave it to the girl. I said, here, you take care of business. And she turned around. It was so sweet. She turned around to that guy and she said, see, I told you God would take. Yeah, it was. It's powerful. Yeah. I'd have been aggravated if I'd have paid for her groceries and she's trying to buy a carton of cigarettes. I'd have been very upset. Yeah, I'd have been very upset because she could have bought those groceries with a credit card. I'll tell you what, I was in Dollar General not long ago and I was trying to, I had different money in different pockets. I had dollars in this pocket and had bills in this pocket. And so I put up everything but the big bill, which was $10, and I'm getting ready to go reach for it. And while I'm reaching for it, I reckon they thought I didn't have it. The person behind me walked up, and she just put it down on the table. She said, I got this for you. And, of course, if I'd have been somebody to take advantage of people, I'd have said, oh, thank you. But I said, no, ma'am, thank you so much. That is such a blessing, and I know God's going to bless you for this. I said, but it was in my back pocket. I just had to reach for it. And she said, you sure? I said, I'm sure. And so I pulled out the money and I put it up there. But it was so refreshing. They didn't even think twice about it. They just went here. And it weren't like it was $2 or $3. It was $10, $20. She threw up a $10 bill or $20 bill. She threw it up there and I said, ma'am, thank you. And I said, I hope God bless you for this. But yeah. Well, any more questions, answers, concerns? Let's go. Lord, I love you. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace, your mercy. Lord, there's so many disappointments in life, and hit us every day. We have plans, and that's why we have these disappointments, because we have plans for one thing and another thing happens. I ask you right now, Lord, to help us, God, to understand that you said in your word that you have plans for us and your plans will come to fruition. You use every positive and every negative in our life to build in us what you need in us so that we can be effective in the areas that you're sending us. I ask you right now, Lord, to help us to understand that even in the hard times, even in the dark times, you're making our roots go down deeper, and we thank you for it. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen.